coming to you live in a second episode of Call Me Ignorant is going to be Tony from There Goes the Neighborhood. We've recently discovered his content with this comedy show, 9/11 is Gay. Very good show. I've said on previous episodes that I've been looking for a comedy show that's right up my alley for a long time. Does the conspiracy thing. You kind of don't know what the angle is. I like that. A lot of deadpan comedy, and certainly not afraid of, you know, dealing with certain issues that we'll discuss in a second. But let's bring Tony on in the room. And Tony Rothschild, it says online. Hello, sir. Welcome on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is cool, man. Thanks. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. So you got a picture of Bill Clinton right there. I don't know.
Where? Yeah, it's just one of my mentors.
Yeah.
I like to make sure I give a good shout out to the people that helped me get where I am today.
All right, nice. So what, so you're an animator, right? I mean, do you draw because I've seen some videos of you doing the music as well. Do you do all the voices, all the music, all the animation for There Goes the Neighborhood?
Yeah, unfortunately, I want to outsource the animation to some Japanese kids, but I can't afford that yet.
Yeah, some Japanese. I mean, but can they draw though? Can Japanese people? Is that a genetic thing? Are they good drawers like that?
Yeah, they have very nimble fingers. They could really get in the lines really nice and close, and they have like a real up close perspective of drawing and animating. I think that's why they're so good at it.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, so what was?
And they're always like they're always very focused, because they're always like, you know, when you're trying to focus on something, you have to squint really hard to really like get yes. a clear reception.
Yeah.
So they're kind of natural at that.
Yeah.
They're always really focused.
They're
squinting.
A disciplined people. Yeah. They're like uh-huh. samurai culture. They probably some beatings going on when they're a kid,
and it which tends helps to, a lot.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully I have kids one day and I can, you know, what do they say? Spare the rod, spoil the child. And
yeah.
I don't plan on sparing the rod there.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was really misbehaved, and I actually requested to my dad to not spare the rod anymore, because I actually went to an all Asian or all Oriental elementary school. And I noticed everyone was so well disciplined and I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I was kind of wondering why I was so different from the other kids.
Right.
And then they kind of informed me that that is really what puts them on the straight and narrow. So then I went home. I told my dad. We had a sit-down meeting with the principal at school. And the principal told my dad, he's like, look, I think you need to get the rod. And they actually provided a rod at the school to the parents.
Yeah.
They so it really helped
got
me.
Got the switch from your, you know, you grab the switch from the tree out back and you make it yourself, you know?
Yeah, it's part of the ritual. Yeah, yeah. I had to find my own branch. It's kind of like a whole metaphorical hero's journey.
The foot binding thing, that's another thing that helps with their discipline, right? They make you wear shoes that are really small.
Yeah, that was the one thing I didn't really like about the school. I have a foot fetish, so the more small and bound the foot is actually worse for me. I like a nice big foot.
Yeah,
don't you?
So not only a foot thing, you have like a big foot, like actual big foot, like the
yeah. Well,
the
you know,
hairy.
Like if someone's like an ass man or a boobs man, they like a bigger butt. They like a bigger boobs. I'm a foot man, so I like a bigger foot. I like
gotcha.
A lot of surface
so
area.
Really informed your upbringing. Was the art? Did you have been drawing forever? Have you been? Have you always been kind of an artist type?
Yeah. For the animations, I don't even like drawing it. I like writing.
Okay.
The cartoon. So yeah, I'm not even that good of an artist. That's the other problem here.
Yeah.
I have an animated show. I don't like animating. I don't like drawing.
Really. Really?
Yeah.
You like the writing part of it. Yeah, I mean, your show is definitely well written, and I can tell that you have a way with words, but you do have some really good sponsors, and I know that you don't write those yourself. That's actually gets handed to you from, you know, things like Mossad and Adrenochrome. And how did you get these really cool ad spots? Bill Clinton.
Yeah, so So with the recent Jew tunnels thing, that happened. We interviewed a Jewish gentleman from the tunnels in New York, because that's where I live as well. And after that, he kind of after the interview, he kind of invited me down to the tunnels to have like a tour and stuff. So I went, and it was really kind of like a nice initiation, because they really hooked me up with some, like you said, some really pretty good sponsors. This small like mom and pop company, Mossad. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Yeah.
So they're kind of supporting
us. I'm aware of their work. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're kind of backing us now, which is nice. So maybe I will be able to afford that, Japanese animator now, which is really the hopes.
Yeah. We did a segment on Mossad's greatest hits, you know, so I don't know if, you want to go into some, because you had, okay, you had the Jew tunnel guy, you had the CIA agent, and then you had some sort of whistleblower about Ben Shapiro and a superhero movie. So who is your favorite guy? I mean, probably the Jew tunnel guy was the biggest get so far.
I think so. Yeah. He was probably my favorite. David Saltzman from the tunnels. Because that also really helped a lot of people find our show, because a lot of people were really wondering the truth about the tunnels, and there was a lot of really wacky conspiracy theories going around. So I said, we got to put these conspiracies to rest. So I sought out someone actually from the tunnels that we could speak to firsthand, and he really clarified everything. And I love the tunnels now. I'm really proud of what they're doing down there and the work they're doing for not just New York, but this country.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. My brain definitely went to some weird conspiratorial places when you saw these, they're scurrying out like rats, and they have these mattresses. But it turns out, as your show clarified, that they're really just trying to bring people back from the dead and bring about the Antichrist. So that was, you know, set my mind.
Well, the Messiah. Yeah. Well, yeah. If it's not Christ as the Messiah, then I guess it would technically be anti-Christ. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a good thing once they finally bring back that Messiah or whatever term you'd like to use.
Yeah. Well, what do they do? Don't they have to slaughter? They have to have a genetically pure heifer, and they have to slaughter it. Do you know about this?
In the tunnels? And that's not how he described it to me. Unless by heifer, you mean like a fat woman.
I mean...
A literal heifer? Like the animal?
Yeah, they literally have... This is a thing they actually are working on in Israel, where they're trying, you know, with genetic engineering, and they're trying to breed the perfect cow. And to clarify, not an American woman, average American woman on TikTok. They're trying to breed a heifer and slaughter it and then build the third temple. And that's how they bring about the end of the world. I don't know if the guy mentioned that at all, but that's what supposedly they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what he mentions. He's described something else, but I mean, the end of the world could also probably be like metaphorical for ending the current regime of the world and bringing about kind of like the chosen regime, is what I like to call it now, of the chosen people.
Yeah.
Because why should the regime be not chosen people?
Yeah. I have my thoughts. I think that maybe I'd prefer a slightly different people group to be running things. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. So that guy, how would you find that tunnel Jew guy? Like, you see him on the street? Did you get a phone? You know, how'd you link up with this guy?
I saw him giving an interview on a local news station, and they had his name underneath. So then I just did some research, some Googling, and I found his contact info. And since our studio's also in New York, he was able to come down in person.
Wow. And he was part of the whole Hasidic. He was a member of the, what is it? The Chabad Hasidic. Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a famous, the synagogue where the tunnels were initially found is a real, like, world-famous synagogue. It's kind of the headquarters for the Chabad Jewish folks.
Yeah. So here's my question about that is okay, I heard you mention, you went on, I think, Nephilim Death Squad, with Top Lobster, and I heard you mention that this guy was for real it wasn't a bit. My question is, if it wasn't a bit, would you tell us? Would you ever
Of course.
Is it? Yeah, you would.
Absolutely.
Okay. Like, how is it falsifiable if I can't find this guy and I can't, you know?
I could get you in contact with him. I haven't heard from him since, but I am talking to some of his handlers, like I mentioned, one of our sponsors.
I got you. That's is the adrenochrome drink, is that an alcohol drink that you got there? Is that
This is adrenochrome.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know if you could really read it up close.
Clinton
but it's
Reserve,
actually...
age 3-year-old skulls.
Uh-huh.
100% blood.
Yeah.
Is adrenochrome different than blood? I mean, it's in the blood, right? Do they have to spin it in those little vials, or how does that work?
Yeah, I actually haven't gone to the Clinton Reserve Distillery yet, where they distill the adrenochrome from the pineal gland. But I do want to take that tour eventually and kind of see exactly how they do it. I know Huma Abedin has her own line coming out soon. So I'm kind of interested to try hers. It's kind of more tailored towards like women. It's kind of like a new like White Claw type thing I think they're going for.
Yeah, they like
version
that, yeah.
of adrenochrome.
Sure. Yeah,
low so calorie. It's going to be nice like on a nice beach, like a spring break type version of adrenochrome. So that's going to be good.
Yeah,
I think.
Don't they... isn't there actual news articles about them injecting themselves with young blood? There's this guy, Peter Thiel, that he wants to look young forever. He's, I guess, a billionaire, and he actually does inject himself with young. It's either mice blood or it might be human blood, but you got any friends that do that?
Not that I know of. I mean, I just drink the adrenochrome.
Yeah.
I haven't really done any injections yet, but I could see that being very effective. Hopefully it's not mice, because that probably won't be as effective.
Right.
If Mr. Thiel isn't doing the injections, I've heard human blood does work better.
Yeah.
So for his sake, if he wants to look younger, I would definitely use the younger human blood.
Yeah, young as possible. Yeah, that's... And so you're probably something like 70 years old, right? And you just look great, right?
Yeah, no, I always looked young. I think it's because I'm not. I'm only in my 30s, actually. But I look like I'm like 16-ish, probably because of the adrenochrome. But I did start my career young. I was a child actor, childhood crisis actor. You could kind of see from my shirt.
Yeah,
so I actually got started young in that business. So I was kind of introduced to a lot of things at a young age. I met I had the same agent as Marina Abramovich. So me and her got together. She took me to this cool like finger painting art show she was doing. And yeah, that's kind of how I got my start and my in showbiz. You know her, right?
Yeah, she does the... Yeah, I mean, doesn't she do those performance art style deals where they're kind of doing a mock... Yeah, it's like... I don't think it's real, right? Where they're like sacrificing a person. You tell us about Marina Abramovich.
Yeah, when she does things in public like that, it is kind of like mock, but it's kind of like tongue in cheek when she says it like that. Yeah. We all know like behind the scenes and stuff at parties that we've been to. I've been to one as a child as well. Where it's not mock, it actually is real. And it's kind of like if you saw Eyes Wide Shut, it's kind of like along the same aesthetic as that. So really, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've never, I wouldn't say I know. Someone in the chat says spirit cooking. Is that what,
right.
is mm-hmm. that what they're doing?
That's the term, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use a bunch of different like bodily fluids. Of course, blood is the natural one. But like urine, feces, I don't want to get too crass on your show, but.
That's all right. These are normal bodily functions, right?
Sexual fluids. Yeah. Yeah. It's all natural. That's kind of the thing. People see it as like kind of like cryptic and satanic, but it's all part of nature. which is kind of like what Crowley was teaching us.
He was kind of a messed up guy. I don't know that much about Crowley other than he was the big time occult guy and he liked collecting things, but I don't know too much about him other than probably to stay away from his work. But what can you tell us? I mean, have you always been into this kind of conspiracy angle? I don't know if you would call it that, but you know, I see that your show is called 9/11 is Gay. Why not faking gay? You know, like that's the more common. So how'd you come up with the title for your show?
Because I'm not really a fan of 9/11.
True.
So by calling it gay, I'm like saying, oh, that's so gay that happens. Like, that's really a shame. That's really lame.
Right. It's just lame. Yeah. It wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of I didn't really like 9/11.
No, I don't think most people. Well, some people danced. I mean, there was like a dance party.
Yeah, so that's true.
That was really strange when people are like doing a rave, you know.
Well, I think where they were coming from, the dancing Israelis, which is what you're alluding to, I think they weren't being too like knee-jerk reaction in the moment where they're like, oh no, this is gay, that these towers are collapsing right now. I think they were kind of looking ahead at all the good things that did result from 9/11, which there were some, like the Patriot Act, TSA, and which is really making us safer in the long run. That.
Yeah, gotta love getting groped by a obese black woman when you want to go, you know, take a ride somewhere.
Yeah, well, it is kind of nice to get that massage because sitting on a plane is kind of uncomfortable for hours on end.
Yeah, it's like a foam roller.
And the bigger they are, they could kind of get deeper, more of like a shiatsu type massage. And to me, it's kind of like a nice luxury.
That's a good point. Yeah, I can tell that you're forever the optimist. That's very nice. There can good things can come from bad. But did you have you lived in New York your whole life? Were you there when 9/11 happened?
Yeah, I'm on Long Island, so I'm not actually in Manhattan. But yeah, I was pretty young while that happens. I was trying to get a gig. Like I said, I was a childhood crisis actor. I was trying to get a gig there on 9/11, but it was already they filled all the spots already, unfortunately.
Okay. Gotcha, man. Well, when's your next show? Because they don't air very often, right? I mean, most your channel is mostly your animated work and then 9/11 is gay. There's been three episodes. So how often do you plan on doing them? And what's the plan for the next one?
Yeah. So the podcast 9/11 is Gay is new. As you mentioned, there's only three episodes. We're looking to do it twice a month. So far, it's been about once a month. The cartoon, which is called There Goes the Neighborhood, animating takes incredibly long, and it's incredibly annoying and a very long process. So we've only ever been able to do one of those a month, depending on the length of the episode. If it's like 10 minutes, it's endless hours of work. So we can only like do one of those a month unless we do like short 2-minute things, but usually we do longer episodes. 9/11 is Gay is easier. There's really not much editing going on. So we are looking to do that twice a month. Ideally, it's new, so we're kind of figuring out what works. We were supposed to film the new episode Sunday, but there was a slight behind the scenes emergency. Our co-host Giselle was getting harangued by the ADL. There's a segment we do on our show where we cross-examine Giselle's Twitter account where she makes very tasteless tweets, and the ADL caught wind and they've kind of been harassing her, so we had to postpone that. Now we're filming that in a few more days, so it's going to be probably another week till that's out. But the exciting thing is the guests we got is one of the forensic analysts and doctors who worked on Jeffrey Epstein's death.
Really? And so you're getting the whole like ligature, like where the thing sat, whether you can use some bed sheets to do the deed, and that whole deal?
Yeah. So I talked to him on the phone briefly. I don't like kind of like going over everything we're going to talk about on the show.
For sure.
So he did kind of allude to some things he is going to talk about. A lot of it is revolving around Epstein's actual death. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories around that, too. So he's going to put to bed a lot of those theories and kind of go over what he actually analyzed firsthand while investigating the death and really set a lot of the rumors straight as to exactly how Epstein died. And he did also allude to Epstein's background is not what we thought it was. So he's going to actually go into some of that history, which I'm not really exactly sure what he's going to talk about yet, but
yeah.
I know he wants to, he wants to get rid of some of the conspiracy theories around the death and kind of set the record straight as to exactly what happened that night and go into Epstein's background a bit, which intrigues me.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, it's called 9/11 is Gay, the information show, and your whole thing is to inform people, you know, set the record straight on all kinds of conspiracy theories. And, you know, the first guy it was a whistleblower about Ben Shapiro's superhero.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, that was eerie. So a writer from Hollywood, I don't know if he ever put his name out publicly yet, but when he came on our show, he wasn't in studio. The other guests are going to be in studio. But this guy wanted to remain anonymous. He used a pseudonym. And what he was blowing the whistle on was before the October 7th attacks in like Israel region, this Hollywood writer was asked to write a script from Ben Shapiro about this movie that really closely resembled the attacks on October 7th, which is kind of weird because the script came out months prior to the attacks, and Ben Shapiro wanted to write, star, and direct in it himself. It was a kind of like a superhero movie where Ben is the superhero saving Israel from Palestine.
Yeah, it's kind of what's going on. It's probably kind of how he views himself, just without the cape, right? I mean, that's his whole deal is being loyal to that country over America. He doesn't say that, but I think everyone knows what's up, at least in my opinion, right?
Absolutely. And God bless him for it, too, because I'm right there with him in solidarity.
Well, we might disagree on that one. But yeah, I mean, so as far as your politics or whatever, I mean, do you consider yourself to be a political person? I saw some cartoons on your channel that were like, you know, mocking police, which, you know, we love to do over here. What would you say your political leanings are, or are you apolitical? How do you feel about that whole deal?
Yeah, I don't really follow politics at all. That's why I like to have these guests come on and they could kind of explain things for me, because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
the cartoon is very political. I'm just kind of going off what I see in the news, I guess. But yeah, we make fun of cops a lot because cops do a lot of zany things out there in the world.
The beat and cheat song. You got the and you did a musical. I'm a musician myself, and I watched your the Woker. That was
the whole thing.
Yeah, I watched it last night. Yeah.
Wow. I'm always surprised when anyone watches anything we do. So
yeah, I mean, I do my research a little bit, and I watched three episodes of 9/11 is Gay, and I watched the Woker last night. I was actually watching it at the gym, which is very interesting, leaving that animation up there on the treadmill. But
so
yeah,
the songs really inspired you to keep working out.
Yeah, that's right.
Hell yeah. Then,
but I mean, seriously though, how much time? I mean, that's an hour and 15 minute piece. How many man hours went into making that long of an animation?
Yeah, The Woker is our musical. That was parodying, you know, the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. There's a second one coming out, which actually has the same title as our musical, Folie à Deux. So we heard that's also going to be a musical. And then the title, which is I never even heard of it prior to me seeing this movie. is it's a psychological disorder in which there's a deluded individual and his delusions spread to those around him. So we kind of use that plot for our own musical. I don't even know what the plot of the sequel to Joker is going to be. We just created our musical based off what inspired us from the title. And that's not even coming out for another like 2 years or so. So to answer your question, to make an hour and a half long movie, especially a musical, makes it even more difficult. It was a nightmare. That took like probably 4 months of consecutive everyday work.
Wow.
Yeah, that sucked.
That sucks, man. Yeah, that was
a mistake.
Was it? You view it as a mistake? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I hate musicals. That's why I like to make musicals, because I like to make fun of things I hate.
Oh, they're terrible, right? I mean,
yeah. What, I can't take them seriously at all.
I say things like "what happened" all the time on my show, but as if musicals were ever good. You know, I'm like, oh, can we just return to the glory days? Like, to return to the good old golden years when musicals were good, but they kind of always sucked. So if you hate them, what's your favorite musical?
Probably The Woker.
That's you made. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, actually, no.
Yeah.
I mean, South Park's done good musical things, so I like musicals that are making fun of musicals. Mm. Any musical that's meant to be a serious musical, I think, is a joke.
Yeah.
But in ours, we wrote and recorded all the songs except the one song that was a parody of the Nightmare Before Christmas song. What's this?
Yeah.
Song.
Yeah. 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 That was good. So, what do you use for the music? Like, do you just use like a workstation keyboard, or do you? How do you actually produce it?
Yeah, I use the MIDI keyboard for a lot of it, but I'm a musician as well, so I play a lot of instruments. So any instruments that weren't electronic, I played myself. Yeah.
Guitar or whatever else.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't a real upright bass, was it, on that one?
No, it's just
MIDI, yeah, with Lori Lightfoot. You know,
it would be cool to have an upright bass. I don't have one though.
Yeah, I'm looking to get one myself, but they take up a lot of space. And I was thinking about maybe getting one without a neck. You know, there's the one that's kind of just the bridge that plugs in. They takes up less space. It's an electric upright bass. But I was thinking about maybe.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I think like some like punk band used to use one of those or something.
Mm, yeah. Well, we're going to take some questions from the live chat. I'm really looking forward to the next episode of 9/11 is Gay. It's not live streamed, right? It's pre-recorded.
Yeah, it's not live. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's not going to actually come out Sunday. It's going to take me like a day or so to put it all together.
Dang. So you're like a one-man band here. I mean, I know you have Giselle and I don't remember the other guy's name, the guy who's off camera.
Producer, our attorney, Dirk Dinkman.
That's right.
For the cartoon, it's also me and another partner of mine. It's not me doing everything for the cartoon.
And Dirk is a member of...
It's two of us doing everything.
Dirk is a member of the tribe, right? He's one of God's chosen.
One of the chosen people.
Yes, okay. Where'd you get that... Where'd you get that song that's like... It was at the end of your... Because the Jews are God's chosen...
What song?
It's like you played it on your show.
Because
it's like,
the Jews are God's chosen people. We're taking this whole land, call it Israel. Let's all join in hand with Israel, we stand.
Very nice. Yeah.
That's something we wrote for another mute. Yeah, we also did another shorter musical that was only like 20 minutes or so. You know, West Side Story. Mm-hmm. We did a parody, Middle East Side Story, about Israel and Palestine.
All right, that's a banger right there. I kind of want to get a version of that for myself. I would just learn that song myself if I figure out the chords. I like that a lot, unironically.
That concluded the musical. Yeah, we parodied some of the actual songs from West Side Story, and then we did two originals. That was one, and then we did another one.
Okay,
but I could send it to you if you
want. I would love that. Please send me that. I'll learn it. I'll learn it in a couple hours. I'll just like do a live version of it. I'm seeing the marching band. They have their batons. Star of David's at the top of all of them. And they're goose stepping, of course.
Naturally, yes.
Nice.
They love dancing, so that's kind of a cool dance move. Yes,
absolutely. Well, let's do a couple of these questions, and I have some stuff for the end of the interview. But yeah, this is cool, man. All right, so I don't pre-prepare these questions. We have some mischief makers over there in the live chat, and we'll just go in order. What instruments do you play?
Guitar, bass, keyboard, drums, vocals.
Cool. Yeah, same here. Yeah, I teach music for a living, so that's basically, you know, I kind of learned all that stuff over about a 10 year period, and then I just show people how to do it. So that's
sitar actually. I like Indian instruments.
Really? Do you play keytar at all?
No.
I'm sure you can. I mean, sure you can.
I don't even know how those work. I've seen
it,
but
yeah. It's one of my
also another cool thing I play. You know, like when people like blow into like an empty beer bottle or like a old soda bottle, sure. And it goes like toot toot. Back when I was doing stuff with Marina Abramovich during some of her like spirit cooking sessions. They would actually have some skulls that they would make the adrenochrome from, where they would hollow out, like where the pineal gland is. And we would kind of use those as like a toot, 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 type of like bottle instrument, which was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. You tune it to, what is the, like a flat fifth. You got the devil's interval. That way you can conjure
yeah,
up.
Yeah. You know about it. Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I used to be into not the occult, but I used to be into studying all kinds of worldviews and stuff like that. So I've dabbled and I regret it, but it's part of my history. So I guess it is what it is, right?
I love it. Yeah.
I'm just going to read it. What is your favorite dog recipe? Do you mean cooking dog? Which is also very funny because the person asking this is Asian. So I actually have to ask the question, is she talking about recipe for your dog's food or recipes for dogs as food?
It's probably dogs as food, I'd presume. I haven't actually had dog yet. So, I mean, you could probably... person asking the question could probably educate us better. They might know firsthand.
It's one of those, like, you know, they ask you a question, but not because they're curious. They ask because they have their take on it. And I think that's what's going on. Like, Haro, do you like a fried dog? Have you cooked dog before? I'll kick it back to Life to the Max. Have you done any other shows in the past? Have you worked in Hollywood or the music industry?
No, I record music on my own, but it goes nowhere. I meant like even besides like the gay musical stuff we do, to write musicals, I realized it actually helped a lot when I was first trying to write the musical. I had a bad case of writer's block and I couldn't figure out why, cause that's never happened to me before. Then I realized, I think it's cause I'm writing a musical. And what I had to do was I actually had to go gay for several months. Whoa. And then all of a sudden something just clicked. And I was able to write a musical really proficiently. So that's my tip for any folks trying to get into the musical industry. But as far as me working in Hollywood or anything, the only thing I've ever really done was just some, again, crisis actor stuff. No big events, kind of just like small, like local bank robberies I've been a part of. Yeah. Some hit and runs, some shootings, none of the big ones, but some of the smaller local shootings that just made like local news. I was crisis acting at some of those.
Yeah, do they change your getup, of course. You can't just appear as the same person every time, right?
No, I mean, they do get kind of sloppy with that sometimes.
I've seen it.
Yeah, depending on the director. But I've worked with pretty good directors. I think probably the one notable thing I worked on when I was really young, I was only like 6 at the time, was the Oklahoma City bombing.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
So you weren't there. They flew you in or something like that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm from New York. So it was kind of a interstate deal. I don't know, my agent usually goes through the specifics with that, but a lot of times they like to use people from out of state so that they can't really be traced to the event happening in the other state where the crisis is occurring.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So that one was kind of, that's on my IMDb. If you guys cool. want to check that
nice.
Out. Yeah.
Nice, man. You're like famous. What are your thoughts on the N-word?
Which one?
Nigger.
Neanderthal? I don't know. I only use it when I'm like out in public.
Sure.
I don't really like to use
maybe
it
driving.
Privately.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like
windows
the bank,
up, scream or... it really loud. Yeah. I'm just speaking for myself. I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's I don't know, it's just a word.
Yeah. Yeah. What is and we're doing a little rapid fire here. So if you want to expound on whatever, I mean, we just got people filling up the chat with ridiculousness. What is Giselle?
You can ask anything, I don't care.
What is Giselle's role? What does she do at the show other than tweet out things that the ADL, catches wind of? But what is Giselle's role in the show?
You mean like behind the scenes? Like
What does she call? She called a co-host, and does she do?
Yeah, she's our co-host.
Yeah, behind the scenes as well. Yeah,
yeah, and she's eye candy, right?
Mm.
Isn't she?
Yeah, you zoom in on the face.
Her face expressions are really a fan favorite.
Yeah.
So she's critical. That's why we didn't want to do the show. We could have still done the show with Epstein's doctor without her, but we didn't want to because she's as critical as me or Dirk Dinkman, our Jewish attorney.
Right. Yeah. This one's from me. So, for the people in the chat that don't know, they do a segment on 9/11 is Gay where they spotlight someone in the community that they just want to show appreciation for. And, usually it's a person with a name that has, some other cultural significance. Has anyone, any of the three people, have they seen the show or have they contacted you about the segment you do on them?
Yeah, what we do is a community showcase where we like to highlight people that are working locally in the United States and pull up their LinkedIn profile and really highlight them and hopefully get them new jobs for being great members of society. So far we've had, it's really not as impactful if we don't have the visuals, but we've had a gentleman named George Floyd. We've had a gentleman named Henry Kissinger, another guy named Bill Cosby that we highlighted. And I think the coincidence was a lot of people were confused. They thought it was actually, turns out there's actually celebrities with some of these names, which was a coincidence. We choose people based off their credentials, their social credit score. And if it's good enough, then we like to highlight them on the show. So it was kind of a coincidence that it was people named George Floyd, who I think is someone who also existed. Henry Kissinger, I think, was some like politician or something. But yeah, what was your question?
Have they reached out to me? Yeah, have any of them ever reached out to you? Yeah.
Yeah, they thanked me and said, "Like, you got me a new job in the industry," which is so it's really kind of a nice thing we're doing for these people.
You know, the first guy, George Floyd, that you spotlighted. It said just lean in his, that made me laugh really hard because it just said he's like, I don't know, if I were to say, hey, I'm a musician, I'm a Christian, I'm a live streamer, lean. It didn't even say I'm lean. It just says lean.
Yeah.
And he wasn't lean. So what, do you know what that means at all? And it just,
yeah. Well, I think what he was doing was this kind of tactic because we know LinkedIn's like a platform to get new jobs.
Yeah.
So I think what he was doing there was kind of like showcasing his ability to gaslight, which is really important, especially when interviewing and getting a job where you have to have this fake aura of confidence and kind of hype yourself up, boost your credentials that might be very exaggerated. So I think he was kind of showcasing that where an employer would be like, wow, that's actually, he's like maybe 100 pounds overweight yet calling himself lean. This I like the cut of this guy's jib. I want to bring him on. He's got no principles and we need that in this company.
Yeah, because basically when you're selling, you know, there's a fine line between selling something and, you know, I don't know, gassing people up or whatever. But yeah, he just no principles and able to sell something that is clearly not true. So in a certain respect, you got to, you got to kind of admire that, right?
Especially in sales. That's probably the most critical aspect you could have in a sales job.
Yeah.
So I think he actually did get a good high paying sales gig after that for Pfizer. You know them?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this guy's selling a lot of cool vaccines and stuff now.
Yeah. Do you have, are you pro or anti-vax? Do you have a take on the whole vaccine question?
Yeah, I'm pro. Pfizer is one of our sponsors. Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. We got all three as sponsors because I felt like getting vaccinated by all three is kind of the best of all three worlds, where you can really cover all your bases and really just protect and serve the community.
Nice. Yeah, heroic. That's great. Back to these questions. Would you ever slap your daughter for singing a wrong note?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the show, we kind of talked about sparing the rod and how that's actually a detriment to one's development. So, yeah, of course.
Yeah, just one wrong note. Yeah, depends on how bad it is for me. Do you have any cocktail I have a feeling I know the answer to this, but do you have any cocktail suggestions using adrenochrome? You seem like a straight guy, both literally and figuratively.
Yeah, well, literally, I feel like I don't seem straight, but
you had that brief stint when you were... when you were writing musicals, but other than that.
Of course. Yeah, that was kind of just like that was a phase.
Artistic choice, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so there actually are some cocktails for adrenochrome. Like I mentioned earlier, the spear cooking stuff with Marina Abramovich, she would make her own cocktails with adrenochrome. She would mix it kind of with a little, I forgot the exact measurements. It might've been like, 2 parts adrenochrome, 1 part urine was one. I know menstrual blood was also kind of a big thing. It's kind of mixing 2 different types of blood, which is actually interesting. It's kind of like whiskeys. Now, there's a bunch of different whiskeys. There's like Irish whiskey, Scotch, bourbon. With blood, there's the pineal gland zone, which is kind of more of a hallucinogenic experience. Menstrual blood is kind of more nurturing experience where it kind of really grounds you and makes you more like in this maternal state of mind. So combining the two of those makes a nice cocktail. I haven't tried a ton. Oftentimes I just drink it straight, but that would be my one recommendation.
Is the pineal gland, I mean, does that fill with blood? I know that it's like people... you know, it aids in your dreaming, and at a certain point it could become calcified, if that's the right word. But what is
from
the
fluoride?
Red pill me on the pineal gland. I don't know that much about that.
Yeah, it's what like releases DMT during sleep. That's why when ingesting it, it kind of gets you in this really like enhanced state of mind where you're almost in between realms. Like, or dimensions too, in a way, where it's kind of like a waking sleep you're in, where you're not asleep, but yet you're accessing some of these same realms you go to while you are in a dream state. And it allows you to kind of like alter your life's course, the future, and kind of gives you access to like different entities and stuff that really aid you in life goals.
Yeah, your path, whatever your path may be.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan talks about it a lot, I think. I don't watch him anymore, but he was big on the machine elves. You know about that? How they see the elves?
Yeah, I've met them a couple times.
yeah. Tell him what's up for me if you see him again.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Why are again? I'm not vetting these questions. They're just kind of random.
That's fine.
Why are drums gayer than 9/11? Do you agree with that statement?
Well, let me think. Gayer. I think it could be equated to drumming, as we know, is a very physical experience compared to really any other instruments. And a lot of what it is getting out aggression and pent up rage. And why does one often have pent up rage? Is because they have these closeted homosexual desires, which I think we all have somewhere inside of us, which is a good thing. We should probably act on them more. But drums is kind of a way to get out all that gay homosexual rage that you're not able to act on. So you pound these drums as if it's kind of like pounding another gentleman. But it's kind of exercising that. And I think drums is kind of a cowardly way to exercise pent up homosexual desires, where I think we should all probably act on them instead of kind of taking the cowardly way out of drumming.
Right.
Which makes drums kind of gay.
That's logical. I kind of need you know, sketch that on the whiteboard. I think I followed you though. Maybe we have a disagreement on the. I think people should hold the gay deep inside, just hold it in, never act on it.
Holding gay deep inside sounds kind of gay.
Yeah, true. What do you have a day job? That's from our Asian friend. Do you do this all day? Do you work somewhere? What's your day like?
I don't have a job anymore since we got some of our new sponsors. They are actually paying me to kind of say these things they want me to say, like Mossad. But I don't know, the things I'm saying I do believe, so it's not really that compromised, but the paycheck they give me does help a lot. It's pretty significant.
Okay, so you do your ad reads, you animate all day, do music, you write for your show, and that's what you're... Are you a morning person or a night person? You stay up late, get up early?
I'm a night person.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
This noon interview is really early for me.
Really? Oh, okay. Maybe next time we'll book it for, I don't know, some 2 or 3 or something like that. This is one I'd written down. Who are some of your artistic influences, whether it be in the talk show realm or music or art? Well, you said you're a bad artist, so I mean, maybe your influence. Yeah, who are some of your influences or people that you enjoy consuming today?
You know, the Podesta brothers.
I've read some emails. Yeah.
Yeah, you know some of the art they're into,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I like that. I forgot the artist's name; it escapes me. But that one's, I think that's a really talented artist, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Having it up in your own home, that's pretty disturbing. That's pretty beautiful.
Gotcha. You know, I've performed at Comet Ping Pong before when I lived in D.C. I was.
Have you actually?
Actually, yeah. I've played there like 3 or 4 times. I was in a hip hop group and in a couple bands that we had, not a residency there, but I've played there 3 or 4 times, a couple times after it happened. So I'm a little bit part of the lore there.
Funny, 'cause I've heard bands do play there, which sounds really bizarre.
What did you
think of that place? I've never been able to get there myself yet, but I'm dying to get there.
I don't even know if it's still open, but it was just, you know, I was doing the music circuit. I played in DC all the time, and it was just a place to play. And then the whole, I mean, I think when did the Comet Ping Pong thing happen? 2016
probably.
Yeah, I think I played it one time after the event, once or twice after the event, Comet Ping Pong. And it's owned by a guy who his name is literally I Love Infants, which is disturbing. Pizzagate happened in November 2016. Yeah, I think I played there a couple times after that, but mainly before. And I don't know, it's just a room with a there's no stage. I mean, I guess it's a small stage, and I don't know, man. I wasn't thinking too much about it. I was pretty, I don't know. I wasn't really awake at the time, for lack of a better word. So just a venue and their pizza's good.
Yeah, well, careful when you're saying the pizza's good there.
Yeah, that's right. That's like code, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like means. Like, I'd like some pizza. And they're like, how much? 45,000. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah, Obama had a nice hot dog order for one of his parties.
Yeah, not cool. Yeah. Who are some of your favorite historical figures?
probably George W. Bush, Obama, Jimmy Alifantis.
Oh yeah, that's Jimmy, you're on a first name basis with him. He's not
Jim.
James.
Yeah,
Jim,
yeah.
Jim. Yeah, Jim. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Those are probably off the top of my head. Yeah.
That's it. Cool.
Well, right, who do you like?
I like Hitler. I mean, I like Hitler. I like Stalin. You know,
classics.
More of the fan. Yeah, classic. Their earlier work, though. Their later work got maybe a little weird. But, yeah, I like Andrew Jackson. He did some pretty based things. Yeah, I think probably Hitler is my favorite. We talk about him a lot on this show.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say you could maybe find a member of your community that has that name. I wonder do you know about the guy in Africa who's named Adolf Hitler? You ever heard of this guy?
No.
Well, I mean, his family, it's in some country. He's a black guy, of course, and it's in some country where they come from German. They were colonized by the Germans, and he was a lot of the times the name can happen on accident. You're just kind of named George Floyd, but these people, his parents loved Hitler. So they named him Adolf Hitler. There's been many news pieces done on him, and he loves it. He's not changing it. And it's, you could find someone in your community that, that shares that name or something like that.
Yeah, coincidentally.
Yeah, sweet.
All yeah, right, at one of our future guest ideas is someone I've been talking to who's an expert on Nazi technology happening in Antarctica from possibly off-world sources.
Sure. Yeah, so do you believe in space? This is a good, interesting one to talk about. Like, do you think that space is fake and gay? We went to the moon, flat earth. Like, do you have have you considered these ideas out here on the interwebs?
Yeah, no, I think space is real only because I've kind of experienced it before when going into that like dreamlike other realm state from drinking the adrenochrome. Okay. So I've actually kind of been to these other dimensions, whether it was real or not.
Okay.
But it seemed very real, and it was not Earth. So I went somewhere that I'm assuming is somewhere in the universe.
Yeah. Well, it would have to be, right? It would have to be somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
This couldn't be nowhere, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know really exactly how dimensions work and stuff. We're only in, what, the fourth dimension? So we can't even fathom what merely a fifth dimension would look like, let alone the seventh or tenth dimension.
Wow.
So who knows? Maybe we're living in it all the time simultaneously? I don't know.
Yeah, very interesting. I haven't really considered it. I've gone back and forth. I used to be a big-time flat earther, and I don't know, man. There's just so many different theories out there. And I've never been to a place, I don't know, man. It's like everyone's got their mind made up. I guess I've been there too. But the flat earth camp is definitely militant. I mean, if you start saying that the earth is round around the flat earthers, you know, there's a conference. I don't know if you've heard of the flat earth conference.
Yeah, I know it's definitely a big movement. And yeah, a conference doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I wonder if.
But like you said, if you haven't been somewhere, how do we even know it's real?
That's a good point.
Like, because I've never been to Palestine, so maybe it's not even real, and therefore Israel should just take that whole region.
Logical, right? I mean, Wow. Well, send me that song, all right, man? We just did about an hour, so that was good having you on, man. But send me that song. We'll play it on the show. Does it have a name? Is there a name of that little number there?
It's like 30 seconds long, so it's not even like a real song. It's more of a jingle, I guess.
True.
I think it's just called Jews Are the Chosen People.
Yeah.
Is what I'd probably call it in my internet files.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to argue with that.
I'm trying to remember the chords. I'd have to pull up the actual source file, but I mean, you're probably a good musician. You could figure it out on your own.
Sure. Yeah.
So I could send you the file, and then do a cover song, and we'll share that for sure.
Okay. All right. I love it, man. I love shilling my work. That's awesome. We'll shill yours. Why don't you tell people how to find you? I got your links. Your links will be in the show description once I upload this. But yeah, this is Tony from There Goes the Neighborhood. Where can we find you online, man?
Yeah, so it's a little confusing, maybe. Our channels house both the cartoon and the podcast. The cartoon's called There Goes the Neighborhood, which is pretty much all of the channel names, or the acronym TGTN TV. But the podcast is called 9/11 is Gay. They're both on the channels called There Goes the Neighborhood on YouTube, Rumble, X are the main platforms.
Sweet, man. Good stuff. Well, I'll direct everyone to your work, and I'm looking forward to the next episode. Some good laughs over there. Appreciate the work you're doing, and thanks for coming on, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Have a good one, Tony.
All right, see you, take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. Tony from There Goes the Neighborhood. Call Me Ignorant will be uploaded in a couple days. Good times. Appreciate the guy coming on. 9/11 is gay. Of course it is. It's not straight. See you guys. Well, thank you so much for checking out the content today. I really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to see more content like this, you can hit follow or subscribe on the various platforms, number one being Rumble, Ignoramus on Rumble, rumble.com/user/ignoramus. We stream every weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and new episodes of Call Me Ignorant, the podcast, they drop on Rumble, YouTube, and podcast platforms every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We've had some really good guests come on lately, and we're hoping to keep that going. And if you go over to linktr.ee/ignoramusmedia, you can find all the different places to check out my content, whether that be donations, social media, or streaming platforms. Again, The Daily Ignoramus, my weekday show, 10 a.m. Eastern Time every single weekday. And then Call Me Ignorant, the podcast, comes out Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a good one.